Recorded Books presents The Broken Hearts Club by Susan Bishop Crispell. Narrated by Cassandra Morris. Chapter 1. Love Rule Number 21. You must be willing to give a part of your heart to gain a piece of someone's in return. Love makes people do ridiculous things. Take me, for example. Today, I'm celebrating my one-year anniversary with my very fake boyfriend. Don't get me wrong, August is not made up. He's a real 17-year-old I spent an afternoon with almost 2 summers ago while my mom set up his mom through her matchmaking service. He just doesn't happen to know I borrowed his name and a few of his most charming personality traits for personal use. I don't know if the real August is romantic, but the fake August is off the charts. The surprise anniversary gift on my front doorstep, orchestrated between August and my BFF Gemma, if anyone asks, is going to light up my Insta all day long. The gift is a bouquet of ranunculus flowers, with their fat, delicate balls of layered petals that you can't help but smile at. And a black velvet box open to display a rose gold disc necklace engraved with a camera icon on one side and hashtag most loved, our relationship hashtag, on the other. It's sweet enough to make a cynic believe in love, at least for a moment. No one will ever know it's not real. Gemma's the only one in on my lie. It was her idea, actually, after she saw the photo I snapped of him on the day we met. August's cute in an emo sort of way. In the picture, he's on the dock behind my house, his dark brown hair long enough to fall into his eyes. He wore a beanie that the nearly 85-degree day was way too hot for, but that he refused to take off, and a fitted baseball tee that hinted at muscles on his otherwise skinny frame. And he lives across the state in Winston-Salem, which made him the perfect choice when being the perpetually single daughter of a never-fails matchmaker became too much pressure. So, when Gemma looks at the gifts I've staged and says, "Overkill, Mo," I have to stop and gawk at her. This was the least over-the-top of my ideas. I considered splurging on this killer rose gold ring inset with an ombre teal enamel from a jewelry artist in Scotland, which cost more than I make in a month working at Gemma's dad's restaurant. Or buying the naming rights to a binary star. Until I realized it was a total scam. Only the International Astronomical Union can name stars. I also thought about paying a stranger to get a hashtag most loved tattoo so I could take a photo and pretend it was August. But even I realized that was going too far. "What are you talking about? This is exactly the right amount of kill," I say. "If by kill you mean desperation," Gemma says. She lifts the necklace from our welcome y'all doormat, effectively ruining my 10 minutes of tedious setup. After swatting her hand away, I readjust the box so the early morning light hits it just right. Then I snap a few final shots with my Nikon D500. I've got just enough time to transfer it to my phone with my portable SD card reader and post a story on Insta before first period. I've spent a year trying to sell this relationship. I can't blow it now. "Then you might want to lose the flowers that look like a wedding bouquet. Otherwise, it looks like you're trying too hard." "Not me, Gemma. August. Plus, they're my favorite flowers, so it would be weird if you got me something different." She makes a production of rolling her eyes. If she weren't so damn good at building sets for the drama club, I'd say she should be the lead in every play. "Fine, but hurry up. I need coffee before class."
"You could have stopped on your way here.
I might have even been done by the time you got here if you weren't distracting me with your overkill talk." She huffs out an exasperated sigh, closing her eyes as if looking at me is too much effort. Her blended teal and purple mermaid eyeshadow shimmers with the
Sample complete. Ready to continue?